Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the MedBullets Step 1 podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of infection prevention found under the microbiology section at medbullets.com. Let's begin with an introduction. There is a high risk of transmission of pathogens causing infections in the healthcare setting. Techniques to prevent healthcare-associated infection in patients, healthcare providers, and other hospital staff include standard precautions, disinfection and cleaning, sterilization of hospital equipment, and isolation precautions. Standard precautions include hand hygiene, personal protective equipment, respiratory hygiene etiquette, and safe injection and sharps practices. Key terms include sterilization, which is to kill or eliminate all pathogens, for example, an autoclave process, and disinfection, which means to eliminate or neutralize pathogens to reduce possible contamination to a safe level. This includes hand washing. Next, we will discuss standard precautions. Hand hygiene includes hand washing with soap and water. This is more dehydrating with repeated use. Drying with paper towels reduces the total number of bacteria on hands. Disinfecting agents are often alcohol-based and increase the risk of contact dermatitis and irritation. Artificial nails should not be present. Personal protective equipment should be worn when hospital staff are exposed to any body secretions. This includes gloves, masks, safety glasses or a face shield, and gowns. Respiratory hygiene etiquette includes covering the nose and mouth while coughing, hand hygiene after contact with any respiratory secretions, and using a mask as needed. Safe injection and sharps practices includes prompt and safe disposal of sharps. Next, we will discuss disinfection. When it comes to skin or mucous membranes, alcohol should be used prior to puncturing the skin with a needle. It dissolves the lipid bilayer membranes and denatures proteins. It is ineffective against protozoan oocysts, some non-enveloped non-lipophilic viruses, and bacterial spores. Chlorhexidine should be used as a disinfection of hands prior to surgery. It should also be used to prep a body area for a procedure. Chlorhexidine alcohol solutions significantly decrease the risk for central line-associated bloodstream infections. Chlorhexidine can also be used for wound cleaning. Iodine can be used for wound cleaning or prevention of infection. When it comes to surfaces, aldehydes, halogens, and hydrogen peroxide denature cell components and are effective against spores and all viruses. Next, we will discuss sterilization. Sterilization techniques are used to kill or eliminate all pathogens, including its spores, on equipment, for example, surgical instruments that come into contact with sterile body parts or fluids. An autoclave is a direct high-pressure system at greater than 121 degrees Celsius. It denatures enzymes and proteins in pathogens. It is not effective against prions. Prions must be sterilized at higher temperatures for longer periods of time. The autoclave is the most commonly used method of sterilization. Dry heat or oven sterilization includes temperatures of 150 to 170 degrees Celsius. It denatures and oxidizes cell parts. It is used only on instruments made of metal or glass. Chemical sterilizing agents, aka cold sterilization, include ethylene oxide gas and hydrogen peroxide gas plasma. Ethylene oxide gas involves alkylation of proteins and genetic material, and spores may resist this process. Hydrogen peroxide gas plasma causes free radical damage to cell parts. Chemical sterilizing agents are used when autoclave and dry heat cannot be used for heat and moisture-sensitive instruments. Radiation is another method of sterilization, but it is not commonly used. Next, we will discuss isolation precautions. Contact precautions are for patients with multi-drug-resistant pathogens. Gowns and gloves are required for all hospital staff. Medical equipment should be dedicated to the single patient. Droplet precautions are for respiratory secretions greater than 5 microns. A surgical mask is required. Airborne precautions are for airborne droplet nuclei, which means respiratory secretions less than 5 microns. A respirator mask with 95% filtering capacity is required. This requires a fit testing to ensure tight seal over the nose and mouth. Finally, we will discuss pathogens with specific isolation precautions. Pathogens that require contact precautions include MDR bacteria, such as MRSA and VRE, enteric infections, such as norovirus and E. coli, viruses including VZV, HSV, RSV, parainfluenza, enterovirus, and rhinovirus, scabies, and also skin and soft tissue infections, including Staph aureus and group A streptococcus. Droplet precautions are required for bacteria including Neisseria meningitidis, Mycoplasma pneumoniae, Haemophilus influenza type B, Bordetella pertussis, group A streptococcus, and diphtheria. Viruses with droplet precautions include influenza, rubella, mumps, adenovirus, rhinovirus, and parvovirus B19. Pathogens with airborne precautions include tuberculosis, VZV, measles, smallpox, SARS, and Ebola virus. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to infection prevention, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. A hospital quality improvement committee is studying methods of decreasing the number of hospital-acquired infections associated with their facility. Based on a literature review, they decide to implement a protocol where all surfaces will be cleaned with a solution of 70% isopropanol every 6 hours. Which of the following organisms would most likely be resistant to this proposed intervention? Choice 1, Aspergillus fumigatus. Choice 2, Clostridium difficile. Choice 3, E. coli. Choice 4, influenza virus. Choice 5, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus. The correct answer is choice 2, Clostridium difficile. The intervention of using an alcohol-based decontamination procedure would not be adequate in the treatment of spore-forming bacterial organisms such as Clostridium difficile. Alcohol solutions and alcohol-based sanitizers are increasingly popular decontamination methods used in healthcare facilities. These methods rely upon the alcohol to dehydrate and disrupt cellular membranes as the substance dries. The benefit of this method is that decontaminated surfaces can be regarded as clean as soon as the alcohol dries without requiring further scrubbing or washing. Despite the convenience of alcohol-based solutions, it does not effectively kill spore-forming bacterial organisms such as clostridial species. Patients infected with these organisms instead need to be placed on enhanced contact precautions that require soap and water hand washing after contact. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1. Aspergillus fumigatus is a fungus that can be resistant to heat-based inactivation. However, it would be effectively killed by alcohol-based sanitizers. Choice 3. E. coli is a gram-negative rod that can produce toxins that are resistant to alcohol-based cleaning solutions. However, the bacteria themselves are extremely vulnerable to alcohol-based removal. Choice 4. Influenza virus is extremely transmissible through droplets in confined settings. However, the virus can be easily decontaminated from surfaces with alcohol. Choice 5. Methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus is a gram-positive coccus that is resistant to many different antibiotics, but is equally susceptible to alcohol-based sanitizers as other bacteria. Finally, a bullet summary. Spore-forming bacteria, such as clostridial species, are not adequately removed by alcohol-based sanitizers. That's all for this review about infection prevention. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullet Step 1 podcast. A daily audio review session from MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on MedBullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we would be thrilled if you would consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow right here on the MedBullet Step 1 podcast.